Good evening, everybody, and welcome to a surprise episode 167 of Let's Talk Assassin's Creed. It's only been three or four days, time is flying by, since we published episode 166, when Chris and I were joined by Arshak and Shadi, and the four of us together with Chris. Say hello, Chris.
Hello, everyone.
The four of us, we had a really good conversation just listening to what Mirage is going to mean for players from the Middle East, players from you know, the Arabic countries, and players who follow the Islamic faith, and seeing their faith and their culture brought into this game. We had a fantastic conversation. And what is it? It's Thursday, the 28th of September, and a lot of stuff has happened in the last... I don't even know, 6 hours? So
Chris, yeah.
we're calling this episode Mirage First Impressions because, well, Chris, take it away. Why is it Mirage First Impressions?
Well, it was Mirage First Impressions because we were very lucky enough to be invited along to what was called the Red Carpet event. And basically what it was an interactive event, and we got to go along and talk to the developers, see lots of art assets and different bits of information about the history of the game and stuff like that. And at the end, we got to play the first 45 minutes of the game.
Which was, I mean, first of all, big thanks to Clem, to Dan. I didn't even have the presence of mind to take notes of all the other names, but Clem and Dan from the Assassin's Creed community team. As Chris said, I think there was about 10 different members of Ubisoft Bordeaux dev team in this virtual hub meeting space. It was really cool. And we were just free to have a little wander around this. We didn't take any pictures because we weren't allowed to take any screenshots or videos of the actual event. But it was like a 2D, it was beautifully drawn. It was almost like a watercolor 2D version of that kind of Islamic Middle Eastern city, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it looked to be in the drawing style of the Wanted posters. That's what I thought. It seemed to be like that kind of drawing style. It was pretty cute. And yeah, there was lots to be secrets to find, and... yeah, it was cool. I really enjoyed that.
Me too. And what was interesting was you connected your headphones, your microphone and your camera if you wanted to. And as you walked your little 2D sprite, or sprite, how old do I sound with the word sprite?
That's what I would have said.
Okay, good. you walked around your 2D sprite around this little world. And as you got closer to people, other sprites, their audio faded in. So you could effectively huddle together and have a little conversation. And as you walked away to explore other parts of the world, then their audio and their cameras faded out. It was really interesting. Really nice way of doing like virtual party. So you were like mingling with guests and you'd move around from group to group. So Chris and I, plus I suppose about 30 others. I didn't do a count, but I would guess 30 to 40 people. We got to do a sort of a bit of mingling and chatting with members of the dev team. A few little games hidden in there. We had to do a bit of pickpocketing so we could unlock a camel to ride and pull down some wanted posters and whatever. But as well as chatting with the devs, which we'll get to in a minute, because I had some good conversations with them. I could have spoken for hours. Anyway, there was lots of little hidden stories and like Chris said, artworks and explanations of the work that had gone into the logo and the weapons design, the clothing design, the world design. So a really nice way to bring a bit of the dev process to life. Did you have any conversations with anyone, Chris?
I had a conversation with one of the developers about the weapons, and because I was looking through the list and seeing all the different weapons. Oh, sorry, it wasn't the weapons, it was the tools, sorry. And I seen that it was like, oh yeah, the smoke bomb, that's the best thing. And then I could just hear them laughing and coming through the mic, obviously. It was really funny. But yeah, I can't even remember what I said to him.
Ah, no.
So much has happened since then. But no, it was really good. And then I took a wee wander, and then it was good seeing like other people from the community that we know of or you've seen.
Yeah.
It was really interesting.
Yeah, I saw quite a few familiar names, and Shadi, who joined us last week, he was invited as well, so it was great. He was able to see the game that he's so excited for. And he said last week, I'm trying to remember his exact words, but he said, this game will be a moment of beauty. And I thought that was just a lovely way of describing it, and he got to see a little bit of that that brought to life. I'll tell you So I felt a bit shy because I was like, do I really want to bother these poor developers who've been invited into this session? Because it must be difficult for them, you know, going out of the real office into this virtual world with, I suppose you could say, the customers, the consumers.
Yeah.
Gamers don't have a great reputation, do they? So
no,
I wonder if it was nerve-wracking for them. But I thought, oh, I'm gonna be bold. So there was a sound, I don't know what the right word is, sound engineer, sound developer, sound designer.
Yeah.
So I said hello and introduced myself. And we got to chatting a little bit about the sound design. And he was saying, you know, that the sounds for Mirage are a mixture of real-world recordings of things like animals. Ubisoft, of course, has a huge library of pre-existing sounds that they've either recorded or generated from previous games. And he was just saying a little bit about how they would mix all the different sound sources together. And I did ask him one question, which I'll tell the story here, which was quite fun. I said to him, so I'm in Baghdad, if I'll try and pronounce it the way Arshak taught me. And if I turn the music down and I just sort of walk into the market square and just listen, will I hear any little Easter eggs from previous games like AC1 or Origins or any others? And the developer, I'm so sorry, I don't remember his name. I feel really bad. I didn't make notes of any names. He laughed quite a lot. And he said, this is a challenge for all of us, right? He said, if you climb up to certain buildings, up to the window ledges, if you hang from the window ledges, you might hear something of a little audio Easter egg, but he didn't say what, and he was kind of laughing his head off. So maybe he's just stitched me up, and I will spend hours in the city trying to hear this sound.
Just hanging out by the windows.
Exactly, yeah, checking every window in Baghdad. But that was a nice little conversation. So I'll definitely be listening out for that that audio Easter egg.
Did you find the audio about the Jenny?
And
what they used to make it?
Tell the world. Yeah, I did listen to that.
Yeah, so again, I didn't take notes of a lot of it because we're on a time limit and there was a lot to see, so I was just trying to do all that. But I did see this, and it was basically one of the developers' dogs that they used as the voice actor, I guess. So yeah. That's a cool wee thing. Mm. They used the growls and the barks and stuff like that, and then obviously mixed it and stuff to then make the horrifying sounds of this Ginny.
Let's come back to the Ginny in a moment, shall we? Because damn. So yes, one of the developer team's dogs was like the source of one of the sounds. But also, did you see in the world? I think you did, because your little avatar was stood near mine, the assassin cat.
Yes. Yeah. I'm so happy I found that.
Yeah. So this was like a little interaction point where you could click and then get a little bit of story and a bit of background to the development of this tiny part of the game. So the backstory was that an Assassin's Creed player or fan, they have a beautiful cat with effectively the Assassin's Creed crest in its fur colour over its forehead and down the sides of its cheeks. It's incredible, this cat. And the player had, I guess, tweeted Ubisoft and said, would you please put my cat into the game? And they have. So if you're walking around Mirage, you may find a cat based on a real cat with a little assassin crest running down its forehead, which I just thought was such a lovely little touch. So yes, cat assassins. Did you find any other little interaction points or interesting tidbits?
I found because the one about the emblem, the assassin emblem for Mirage, I must have walked past that about five times and didn't realise it was there. And then when I clocked it and I was like, oh, what is this? And then I just read about that. So yeah, that was obviously about the calligraphy and stuff like that. That was really nice to read again. And the Wanted posters, that's like, I kept coming across them, but I would click on it and it would say you couldn't do it because of your team colour or something. And I was like, what is this? But then they obviously told us that we had to work together to open the vault. So yeah, basically we had to, near the end of the event, we had to, basically all our wee avatars, were we all little basms? Is that what we were? Or were we just random assassins?
I think we were little basms.
Right. And, but we're all different colours, but obviously some colours are the same as others. And they told us near the end, we need to basically find the wanted posters, but they have to be the same color as your wee character and as your team. And if you get, I think it was 7 posters, we would unlock the vault.
So
what was behind the vault?
Well, I'll tell you one last little tidbit, and then let's go into the vault. So I moved my little avatar over to 2 of the game designers. And again, the audio fades in, the video fades in. Really, I got to say, really impressive platform. So I just asked them. I thought, how do I break the ice? Because I don't work in game dev, right? I don't know anything really about game development. So I thought, okay, I want to break the ice. So I introduced myself and I said, can I just start by asking a dumb question? And they laughed. I went, yeah, of course. I said, look, what is a game designer? How would you define it? And then they really laughed and went, actually, that's not an easy thing to define. So they explained that their role is to kind of take the building blocks of the game, so combat, detection, movement, I guess mix that with the story and then tweak the experience to make the game engaging and enjoyable. So I thought that was a really interesting way of sort of understanding their role, almost like conductors. We've got all bring all the pieces together and then we help actually bring it into that final game experience. And a few other people had gathered around and we got to talking in a bit of a group, and I had a note ahead of time because I hadn't seen this discussed in any of the content. To be fair, I haven't been watching all of the Mirage content from different channels because I'm trying not to get too many spoilers. So I asked them about difficulty levels, and I said, first of all, you know, the older games like Syndicate and earlier didn't have difficulty. It was just you could make the game easier by unlocking, you know, better weapons, more armor, capacity to carry more smoke bombs and throwing knives and so on. But the game itself had just a standard difficulty. And of course the newer games do have difficulty levels and different health bars and different aggression of the enemies as you make them more difficult. So I said, what's the difficulty structure in Mirage? And they explained, you know, it's particularly on the stealth side, as there's 3 difficulty levels, so easy, normal, and I think they just said easy, normal, and hard. And they said, as you ramp up the difficulty, the guard's detection radius increases. Their sensitivity, their suspicion will increase much more quickly. And they'll take longer to kind of back off from their search. So they didn't mention anything. There won't be more guards patrolling. So it doesn't change the world like that, but you're going to have to be a lot more cautious and stealthy if you want to play on the harder difficulties. That was an interesting tidbit to hear as well, because I mean, like Valhalla, Odyssey, Origins, the higher the difficulty, the longer the health bars get.
And see, now that you've said that, thinking back, actually Assassin's Creed the original is a little bit like that, in the way that when you first start off the game, the guards, like, you can kind of run past them and stuff and it's fine, or you can bump into somebody else and it's fine. But as soon as you get to, like, I think it's like the last 3 districts of the game, the last 3 targets, sorry, basically, like, the guards are like super high alert and it's like you can run past them and bump into a normal civilian and the guards will see it, and then they start chasing you for that, just, and you just bumped into somebody. So it sounds a little bit similar to that. Which is interesting.
I can't wait to really I'm excited now. I've got to be honest. I can't wait to get into it and try it. So before we go into the vault that Chris mentioned, we had about 45 minutes to walk our little sprites around this. It was like a 2D isometric kind of little town, if you like. We completed our challenge. We had some really nice conversations with other fans who were there and with the developers. And then, Chris, take us into the vault.
Yeah, so in the vault, that was like little wee PC setup, wasn't it?
It was like little portable animuses.
Yeah. It was like step in. And then, we got to play the first 45 minutes of Mirage. And, it was mind-blowing. I didn't think that was going to happen, but what to say.
We assumed it was going to be meet the devs, learn a bit more about the creation of the game, which honestly I was really happy with, because that just helps us hopefully make better episodes and think about the game more when we're playing it, so we can hopefully make more informed judgments, right, and be a bit more intelligent in our understanding and enjoyment of the game. And then they said go into the vault, go and stand. You went and stood by a little 2D pixel art computer, and you clicked on it, and boom, you were launched in your browser. It was very impressive. I've never played like GeForce Now, Stadia, any of those streaming services, but we were launched into a streamed version of Mirage running in the browser. And we got, as Chris said, we got a strict time limit, so we got 45 minutes just to go into
the time limit was running, and even if you paused the game, the time didn't stop, I noticed, because I did run out the room for a second. It just comes up like it's normal menu, but you can't load a game or anything like that, obviously. Just start a new game. And the game opens, which I really like with one of these videos that kinda, it doesn't recap the story of Assassin's Creed really, but or the modern day, but it kinda recaps Basim's story in a way. Doesn't recap it, but it talks about him, and it's like, and it's William Miles, I'm sure, that's the voiceover.
It was.
Which I appreciate. So and then after the video, it goes into the game, and you're Basim in his younger days.
What was surprising was, and I'm a bit concerned about how people will feel about this, because people are very protective over their modern day, which I totally understand. This is more at the Unity and Syndicate side of things, I would say. You know, it's very short. It just sets the scene, and then bam, you are in. And I have to say, I wasn't in any way bothered. I was like, great, let's go.
No, I appreciated it. And hearing that it was William Mills' voice, even though I'm pretty sure the voice actor's different now.
I was going to ask you about that. It's not the guy from...
I think... He was changed in from Origins, was he not?
You might be right there.
I think the one in Origins and the one in Valhalla is a different guy from like AC3 and stuff like that. I think, I don't even know. It's just I'm going off of what they sound like. But it still, even though the voice actor may be different and it sounds different to me, it still reminded me of the recap video from Assassin's Creed 3. So I really appreciated that. I thought that was a nice wee kind of a nice feeling for me. It was like, all right, okay, I feel at home here. This feels right.
Right. Some of the visual design of like the Animus loading screen there, it felt like AC3 with the little short geometric shapes and everything, the color scheme. It definitely called back not to AC1 but more to, like you said, AC3. It was a nice touch. You when you play this game, you will be into the story within a few minutes, you know.
Yeah, you're straight into it.
I suppose, and we'll put this on the video and on the audio description, I guess, spoiler alert. I mean, we only played 45 minutes. We obviously are not going to be able to tell you. We don't want to tell you major plot points. why don't we talk about the movement? Because that's been a hot mm-hmm. topic.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I liked it. I mean, and I did say this to you before, I honestly expected it to feel just slightly faster, just because of the way other people have spoke about it. I don't know why I felt like it would be, I don't know why I feel as fast as Cassandra. But I don't know, maybe it's just me and I couldn't feel it right, because I don't know if my internet's the best, so I was getting a bit of stuttering and stuff when I was playing it, because it obviously is streamed, so it wasn't perfect for me, but it still looked amazing and it felt great. But yeah, I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah, I was thinking the same, you know, game streaming, you know, it was very impressive. We were playing, I had a quick look in the graphic settings, you know, the graphic settings were HD quality, high setting on all of the various options, textures, lighting, whatever. It looked very good, but you knew it was streamed, you know, that there was a slight fuzziness to the visuals, which I wouldn't say is the game's fault, not at all. It's just
That was my rubbish internet. But no, I did, but saying, even though it's slightly slower than I thought it was going to be, I still really enjoyed it. I thought it was really nice. And yeah, parkouring through a bit of dense city felt at home.
It really did. But you know what was interesting was, so you think back to, I mean, I've been playing a little bit of Origins the last 10 days or so, just because I fancied it. And you think to Origins Odyssey Valhalla. Now, I'm on keyboard and mouse, right? So I'm sorry to the controller people out there. For me, it's press W and you hold shift. And that is your run forward. And if you hit a vertical wall, you will run up it. If there's a space, you will jump it. If you come to the end of a surface, you will just jump off. There's no finesse, right? And I'm sure, I guess on controller, it's just left stick forward. And
yeah, you just push it forward as far as it will go.
Yeah.
And most of the time, if you just slightly push it forward, then they should walk.
Right.
Like, it does that in Origins and stuff like that. So if you only just slightly push it, they'll just walk. But yeah.
Gotcha. So what was interesting with the movement then in Mirage, now the starting area, and we'll try to keep it generic, is a very dense town. What is fantastic is every building is covered in surfaces, ledges, pathways, little walls. You know, the design of the world, they've done such a nice job of integrating what feels natural in terms of what would an 850, you know, CE Middle Eastern town look like, but of course all of those surfaces are there for us to use as our playground, so they've really done a nice job of that. But when it actually comes to moving Basim around, you can't just do what you would have done in Valhalla and Odyssey and Origins. You can't just hold W and press shift. You have to provide additional input. So when he hits a vertical surface and you want him to jump, or if you want him to vault, you've got to tap. Now for me, it's spacebar. I guess it would be, actually, I don't know what it would be on X.
Sorry,
So to make him climb upwards, so parkour.
Yeah,
up,
so I usually play on an Xbox controller, so it would just be A.
Right. Okay, so yeah, you've got to do a little bit more, I'm not saying this is like AC1 or Ezio level of fine control, absolutely not, but you've got to give a little more in terms of your input. So tapping spacebar, so legs, as it would have been on the old puppeteer system.
Yeah.
You tap spacebar at the right time, he'll do a nice vault. If you don't, he'll come to a stop. Or he'll awkwardly climb up and then drop down. Again, you press C to parkour down. It's not parkour down in the way Arno would do it, but he would do quite a nice little side jump downwards. And this is really interesting to me, because the parkour that we saw in some of the demo videos didn't look all that special.
Yeah,
right.
Didn't look as smooth as that, as that felt anyway. It felt smoother than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, indeed. But actually, playing it with the density of the world, the fact that you do need to scan ahead, right, am I vaulting a low beam here or a low ledge? Do I want to climb up? Do I want to descend downwards, you are going to have to put additional inputs in, which I think is, again, some people are still going to hate it, right? But yeah. I think if you're coming from the RPG games where you've just really just had to turn your brain off and just press forward, you will have to put a little bit of thought in. And I'm interested to see what people think, because it feels like quite an interesting compromise between the system that they had to build on, Valhalla's system, and perhaps what some people want, which is that full manual control. We don't have that, that's for sure. But it's a really interesting compromise. And one thing I made a note of here, I think I might have said it to you in chat earlier. I just hope people judge this game on its own merits. Inevitably, everyone will compare it. Does it feel like AC1? Does it feel like AC2? Does it feel like Unity? Blah, blah, blah. That's inevitable. But I think they might have got something in terms of their own unique kind of mix.
Yeah, I mean, on its own, I'm really impressed with what they had. Like, I don't know anything about building games, right? I don't know what goes into that.
Magic.
From what I'm guessing, what they had to work with, being Valhalla, and that's parkour / climbing system, I feel like they've done really well with this, because it feels nice and fluid, it's pretty fast, there's a ton of things to climb. I mean, I wasted most of my time in that demo just doing that. And that's not even something that I'm usually that big a... Like I like parkour, but I'm there for the story, really.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, this is great.
The same. After the opening couple of dialogues, when you get to start to walk out into the town, of course you've got an objective marker, and in my head I was like, I've got 45 minutes. There's a timer on the game stream, and I was looking at the timer ticking down. I was thinking, damn, what do? I try and sprint through this tutorial, this opening chapter, or do I just go explore? So I did like you. I was like, I know the objective, but I'm going over the roofs. I'm not going to take the fast route through the street. So, like you, went over the roofs, tried a few different moves and surfaces and whatever.
Did you go over one of the post things? The vault posts?
Not on the way there. And then there's like the initial sneaky mission, shall we say. On the way out, I was finding this really nice route. And again, this is where the density of the town just helps, because I went up onto a roof and straight away, because your brain kind of flicks back into that old, you kind of see the routes, don't you, with your old parkour mind.
Yeah.
And I could see a few different routes, and there was a pole, and I took the pole, and it's very satisfying.
Yeah.
It really is. I liked what I saw there. There's back ejects, manual back ejects, yes, because I tested that. I didn't have the presence of mind to see how flexible or how controllable are the side ejects. That's something I'm very keen to see, because...
Yeah, and I never even thought about that when I was playing it, and I wish I didn't.
It's only me now talking to you and thinking, shit, I should have tried a side eject. But you know what? I've been playing Origins, I just picked up an old save game, an old New Game Plus, so I was in Alexandria... playing as it's the Aya mission, sort of two-thirds through the game, and I thought, I'm just gonna wander off and just piss about, see what I can make the parkour system in Origins do. It's so frustrating, you know, you're on a surface, there's another surface at your height just to the left or just below you. You do on PC, you'd hold shift and A to do like a side eject. Nope, just falls to the floor. The game just wants to put you on the ground constantly. And I wish I'd had the presence of mind to try it today, because then I could have... Because just that recognition of there's a surface at your height or just below, that just opens up so many options, and I didn't try it. Anyway, movement is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else can we say? Again, try not to go...
Well, I found many, many cats... That was something I enjoyed.
I didn't find any. Tell us more.
So, yeah, the first time I found a cat was when I was following our quest giver, or whatever you want to call them. and I was following them doing a little bit of parkour, and I seen the cat. It was like in a doorway, and I just stopped straight away. I was like, I don't even care about following this person anymore. I'll just try and pet the cat, and I did. I was able to pet the cat, and then it walked away from me, and I petted it one more time, and then it wouldn't allow me to pet it again. So I don't know if that was just a wee glitch or.
I think that's a priority one.
So many times.
Yeah. I forgot to pet any cats, man. Terrible.
That's all right. But yeah, then in a marketplace, coming to the near the end of my play, I came across marketplace and there was about 4 or 5 cats all just kind of kicking about. But the story you told about the assassin with the symbol on its face from the developer, was it a fan?
It was a fan's cat.
Yeah, I didn't know about that. And if I'd known about that in the game, I would have definitely been looking out for it. But I wasn't aware, so
I did it the other way around. I learned about the cat, then I forgot to pet any cats in the game. Anyway, yeah. I tell you what just stuck out to me is, so the tutorial mission, the opening sort of, I suppose really the entire 45 minutes is tutorializing movement, detection, eagle vision. Really, the very first thing you do is pickpocket.
Yeah.
And the game wants you to do several of those. You have to. And I assume that if that's one of the priorities of the tutorial, that it will be quite an important part of the entire game. Otherwise, why would you make it such a big part? So, you know, again, we're just guessing here, but it'll be interesting to see. We as players might be spending a lot of time in marketplaces blending, stealing money, blending again, stealing money. So that will be interesting to see. Did you press the photo mode button?
I did, and that was an experience.
Indeed. We were told not to take any screenshots, so we didn't. But I just thought, again, on PC it's F3, right? So I thought, I'm just going to press F3 just to see what happens, right? Maybe I could just see. I know there's no new features in photo mode, but I just wanted to maybe put the camera up high to get a look down at the town from the sky.
Yeah.
Basim, he did some funny stuff.
He flopped about. Yeah. He like kind of went in midair and started flapping about like a fish or something. It was weird. But I was assuming it was just like, because they've got the photo mode disabled or something, that it just went into this weird movement. I don't know, but actually, like, because I was like, I didn't want to take pictures or anything. I was just wanting to see, oh, let's see the photo mode and if it's got filters this time. Like, I know they had already showed off the photo mode, and it is, I think it's kind of the same as the last few games.
I think so, yeah.
But I just wanted to see if there was any filters in it and if, like, how far the camera could go from the character as well. Because that's always a big sticking point for me. I hate photo modes where the camera only goes about, like, a meter away. Yeah. It's a nightmare. So.
I think,
we'll find out soon enough.
We absolutely will. Ubisoft, the photo mode, it's a shame it hasn't really evolved since Odyssey. Odyssey did add quite a few features over Origins, but it hasn't evolved then. It's a bit of a shame because other games are definitely leaping ahead. Having said that, the Anvil Engine photo mode still offers a lot of functionality. Camera position, depth of field, you know, various filters. So it's bad.
Pretty solid.
Yeah.
It's pretty solid, like all rounder.
Yeah, indeed.
But it's not got any kind of fancy features, really.
No, I just love manual control of time of day. Anyway, what else can we say?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I
was just going to say, I think people will like it for the story fans. And I mean, what we're saying about parkour before, I think if anyone has ever thought that this was going to be exactly like AC1 parkour or AC2 parkour or something like that, then that's just silly, because from it being built off of Valhalla, that was never going to happen. And from what they have been given to what they've made, I'm impressed, and I think people should be quite happy with it.
Yeah, indeed. I think that's a really good summary. Again, there will be a spoiler warning at the start of this episode. I'm just going to mention a few things. And again, this is about the story and how quickly they just get on with the story. So within the first 30 minutes, you've had your modern day introduction, you've met Basim, you've met Nihal, and then surprisingly, Roshan.
Yeah.
She's there right from the very... Now, I don't know whether the game will just be linear from that point forward or whether there may be some flashbacks to Basim's earlier life. I don't know. I didn't think we'd be meeting Roshan so quickly.
And I didn't think that he even knew about the Hidden Ones already.
Right.
Because he basically is talking about them from the get-go.
Yeah, and that kind of made me laugh because they're not very hidden, are they? If some random street thief knows about the Hidden Ones.
Yeah, and he's telling Nihal about it and she's like, why do you even like them or whatever? Just like, But yeah, it was interesting that I was not expecting to see her also, and when she did turn around, great moment. Great moment.
Absolutely. Her voice. Oh, man. Her voice. Have we spoken... Yes, we mentioned it in our last episode. So Daughter of No One is the Roshan kind of prequel novel. It's out, I think, in November. Definitely worth reading. And she's been through some shit and she's worthy of respect. So great to see her that early on. And likewise, when we head into the palace for the first sneaky mission, the Order of Ancients are right there. You know, again, this game is not fucking about... in terms of getting all the players on the board, all the pieces are on the board, and we're just in, and it felt good, man. Felt good to see it.
That would be its first black box mission.
That's a good point.
I was just thinking, just because it gave you options.
It did, because you could follow Nihal or find another route in. Did you find the other route in?
No, well, like I said, right, so... To start with, and I'd told you this earlier, that I wasted about 8 minutes of my 45 minutes because 8 minutes into my playthrough, I tried to change a setting and for some reason it didn't like that and it basically kicked me out of the game. I was still in the 2D world thing,
okay,
the experience, but I had to basically just jump back into the game from there, and it didn't reset my time. But it did reset the game, and I couldn't load my previous game or anything like that, so I just had to go for it. So I basically started the game twice there. And what was I saying again?
Black box.
Yeah, the black box. So by the time I got to that, I'd only had about 3 or 4 minutes left. So I think I just made it inside the building. I think. Okay. I can't remember now. Yeah, I was just walking around this corner and then it cut out. I was like, no.
Gotcha.
Didn't actually see them, but all right. Good to know.
Yeah, that first mission gives you two options. You can follow Nihal or you can find the other entrance. Now,
what did you do?
I thought, well, I'm an assassin. I've played Assassin's Creed games before. I know what I'm doing. I'll climb up onto a roof. I shall tap Eagle Vision, which is V on the keyboard, and I'll find the other entrance. I'll be an independent, you know, guy, right? No, I couldn't see the other entrance, and it didn't show up in Eagle Vision. It didn't show up on the compass. Now, if I was playing Odyssey Origins Valhalla, I would have popped up my Eagle drone. Yep. You know, scanned the area, found the other hidden entrance and maybe done that. But of course, at this point, Basim has no Eagle drone, so I couldn't do that. And again, this is where the time was ticking. If I didn't have the timer, I would have had a lovely time just doing a wide loop around that palace, scanning every building, looking at all the guards, and I would have picked my route in and tried to be independent. But that's where time was against us. So I just thought, I can't waste time here. I'm just getting straight in there. So I followed Nihal and all was well. And then escaped. I will say, so that's a good point. You may not have got to this point then. So... after you've done the thing in the place, you are detected and you need to run. So the running was great. You run fast. I was able to outrun the guards. I'm assuming we're going to find some agiles later that can catch up, and we'll have to be a little bit smarter. Yeah. What was I going to say? Damn, my brain's gone back.
Making the escape. So
the escape route detection, worked well. I was able to break line of sight. You see the yellow ghost behind you. Think of how it works in Unity, Syndicate, whatever. And if you keep moving, you'll be safe. Now, I screwed up. I got impatient. So I broke line of sight. Detection bar went to yellow. Jumped into a hay cart. I thought, great, I'm a proper assassin. I'm hiding in a hay cart. But then I got a bit impatient because that clock was ticking, right? So I jumped out the hay cart, and straight away I heard, hey, he's over here. And I was like, shit, run. So yeah, straight back to the roofs, parkouring over the roofs. And it felt great, mate. It really did.
So when you started getting chased, did the yellow circle appear on anything?
Yellow circle.
Oh, no, there's no, there's no minimap. No, or is there? No.
No,
I'm getting completely mixed up here.
No, it's compass bar along the top. So
it's the compass,
I didn't
Yeah,
press...
they would usually turn yellow and then red when you're like close or near to bad guy area. I'm pretty sure that did happen.
Yeah, you did get the compass bar would show red if you were in a restricted area. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh no, see, because I was just getting mixed up there. I was thinking about when you're getting chased, like on a minimap, you would get like a radius of where you are, but obviously that won't happen because there's no minimap. So I'm just thinking like, when you're hiding in like a hay cart or something, or one of the roof gardens, like you probably need to have ran quite a bit further away, or else you'll get that thing where they'll come and they'll search the hay cart or whatever.
That's
did they,
really
anyone come up to search it, or did you outrun them pretty well?
I think I outran them enough, although like I say, I jumped out the hay cart probably within 30 seconds and they were still looking. Will all of them, because there are some guards in the earlier games where they is it the guys with the pikes, my memory's not great, they'll come and poke the hay carts to see if you're in there. I don't know if they'll do that, and again the clock was ticking. If I'd had more time, I'd have basically tested it by getting detected, breaking line of sight, and then pissing about to see what the guards would do, but time was against us.
You could pull guards into the haystacks old school style, so you could do that. So yeah,
I did try a very quick bench blend.
Yeah,
I was following Nihal, and there was a bench, and I thought, well, I've just got to try it just for old time's sake. And I mean, not very exciting, but you press and hold E, he sits down, he looks quite casual, and he's blended. Nice. So all right,
very nice.
I think without going any further into specific lines of dialogue and other stuff, we're probably done for our preview. There were a few people in the group who were able to go further through the story. Now, I think probably I was only 5 minutes behind where the demo would have cut off anyway. So I don't think I missed too much, but... as a tutorial, I tell you what, when people get into this game, it's going to go fast and you're really going to get into it. I was impressed. You don't hang around. You're straight into sort of missions. You're straight into being sneaky. All the major players are there. I'm looking forward to it. What about you, mate?
Yeah, I absolutely enjoyed it. And I really can't wait to play it now for real and actually take my time a little bit more and just have a look about. It's just going to be great.
Absolutely. All right. I think that's it for this very quick episode that 6 hours ago we didn't know we'd be recording. So hope you've enjoyed this very early kind of first impressions of what we've seen, what we've experienced. And I think the plan will be we'll get this episode out probably on the 30th. I mean, I'm feeling keen. I might start doing the audio edit tonight, although it is getting late. We'll definitely get this out over the weekend, and then we'll be back on launch day for a launch day stream. That's the plan anyway. So, we'll see you then.